We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jane, you going to see Halloween, the new one?
Yeah, I have to.
You like the horror genre, do you?
No, I'm not. But you know what?
Well, the original, though, was great, right?
The original one was great. And so, you know, there are some horror movies that did not scare me. That one did. So that one, I feel like that one and When a Stranger Calls are my two Achilles heels. The rest of them I sort of laugh at.
Did you see any of the, I think there were 9 sequels to that movie?
No.
I don't think I did either.
I don't believe, no, I like the original.
So here's the deal, and I'm going to review it in the next hour, 4:20 this afternoon with Paul Hall. But this one operates under the assumption that none of those other sequels happened. So it's 40 years after the original incident. And
Jamie Lee Curtis, that was her first movie. Michael, isn't she?
Well, yeah, or is Michael going to get her?
I don't know, but I know that she's like decided she's going to try to take matters into her own hands, at least from the trailers I've seen.
Yeah, well, I'm going to leave it at that. We'll do the full review at 4:20. I'm also playing this music because usually when Mike Claiborne's on, it's about the scariest thing that people hear. So I thought it was fitting to have frightening music on with Claibs coming on. How are you, Claibs?
Funny. How
Claibs,
are you?
Don't let him say that. I'm usually the one he says that about.
You know, if he could just get better material, it's amazing what he could do with his career.
If it were only creative, his attacks.
Yes,
only
he's not.
No. Sad.
And I love the support that I get from my colleagues. I'll tell you that much.
You're lucky.
What was that
Halloween thing with Jamie Lee Curtis?
What was your question?
Is Jamie Lee Curtis in the Halloween?
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah.
The reprisal of Jamie Lee. Well, I know. That's why it makes it interesting.
She has done well for the senior division.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I don't know. She's probably not going to be. Remember, what was the movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Well, that's what I was just thinking, like the seduction scene, right?
Yeah, spinning on the bedpost or whatever. Yeah, whatever.
What the hell was that called?
What was that movie? I forget.
It wasn't a bad movie with Tom Arnold.
Yeah, what was that? It's terrible we can't remember.
Why can't I not remember the name of that?
But I'm quite sure that you have. Yeah, we all have.
Everybody's yelling at the radio right now. And hang on. This is what happens when you're old, right?
Right. Well, I'm sure there's
all our listeners know. They're probably calling right now. That would be True Lies.
True Lies. It was a decent movie. But I'm sure.
Well, you know that movie, is that the one, if I'm not mistaken, was that written by Tarantino? Was that one of those that he gave up? There was a Tarantino connection to that. Maybe I'm confusing it. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
No, that was James Cameron who wrote that.
I'm pretty sure we've deviated from why you're.
I'm thinking True Romance. True Lies, True Romance. That's the different story. Anyway, we brought Mike on here. You know, I was in here a week ago, and he was doing some work for his Sunday show, and he did something I think is very interesting. We had the debate last night, Jane, between Josh Hawley and Claire McCaskill. We're now just 2.5 weeks out from Election Day. Mike, you submitted questions to each candidate, the exact same questions, and they responded with their answers, and you'll reveal this on Sunday.
That is correct. And what we did, I recorded them, because neither one could hear the answer. They only heard it the one time, and they had as much time as they needed to answer, with the exception of the final question, which was 1 minute on why you think you should be senator for the state of Missouri. But other than that, they got the same questions in the same order, and there were some interesting answers there because they weren't directly opposed to each other like they were last night in the debate, where it seemed like most of the debate focused on them taking shots at the other person compared to what they were able to do or will be able to do.
It's a completely different dynamic.
Yeah, so did your questions focus on different issues, too, that we might not have heard along the campaign?
We didn't go into specific issues, more philosophy than anything else. You know, just like how campaigning works. Do you like the attack ads? And two interesting answers there on that particular question. And, you know, what they can do for Missouri. You know, I think one of the things we've seen with all the commercials and all the other things that take place, the focus now has been on how bad the other person is compared to what you can do.
Yeah, well, it always is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate thing about our society, where we don't build enough stuff of our own to tell us why we are the best candidate, but we can always tell you why the other person isn't. So I went a different direction with it.
And when is this going to air, Mr. Claiborne?
We are going to air just after the 1 o'clock hour on Sunday. And we'll have a chance for people to chime in afterwards and give their thoughts on it. And we don't need any of the associate campaign chairmen's calling. people who are right in between who don't know.
You need to screen them.
I ask you, how many people do you think are undecided at this point?
I mean, I would be shocked if there are any. I think the people who are undecided are likely the people who just aren't going to show.
I agree. It's always baffling to me that people are undecided, but
no,
maybe
there's a
handful
out there.
No, I think
on all these ballot issues and all this other stuff, I think...
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, but I think if they're undecided at this point, they're probably not going to show up.
Well, they're the ones who procrastinate about everything else, I would imagine.
Yeah.
While we have you here, I want people... I can't wait to hear that. We may even... I'll poach some of that for my Monday show. How does that sound, Claves?
You have my written express.
Yeah. The only reason I want to do it is because it'll make my job easier. Just so you recognize that. But look, while we have you here, let's talk a little baseball. It's a little nerve wracking in the Reardon household because Mrs. Reardon is from Milwaukee, so she's wearing all her Brewers gear, but they're up against it right now with two to play. It's home games, but the Dodgers won a big one on Wednesday.
Yeah. You know, that's been an interesting series. Milwaukee was the hot team coming in and, you know, Craig Counsell is being lauded in some regards and also criticized in others and how he used his pitching staff. And it's a different way that we're seeing pitching handled in postseason. But, you know, Milwaukee's good at home, man. They don't have an easy out in the order. I expect them to take it to a seventh game. And who knows what happens after that. But the Dodgers have found a way to win. They are a collection of players. I don't know if I call them a team, but they're a good collection of players. So I think it'll go seven games.
Yeah, I think I felt from the beginning that it was going to be seven games, and that's always fun to have a big elimination game on the line for game seven. Can either of these teams beat the Red Sox?
That's a great question. I mean, they've been good from the start of spring training. I mean, I've never seen teams that just, you know, they don't annihilate people every night, but when you look at the scoreboard, they got one more run than you do. They do a lot of things well. They may have the best defensive outfield, certainly in the American League, if not all of baseball. And the pitching has been able to hold up. They're good on the back end of the bullpen. So they're going to be hard to beat. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I was thinking about our old friend Tony La Russa, who would have a chance to have a World Series ring for a third team should they go all the way.
Yeah, including by a team that beat him one time, right, in 2004.
Exactly, yeah. So,
well, actually, a couple times.
You know, Boston, St. Louis, and Oakland. So good for him. But it's going to be interesting to see if Milwaukee, if they win, or L.A., if they get caught up in the hype of what the Boston machine has done so far this year. And they have been a machine. They've been so methodical in how they do things. They have two guys on their roster that could be the MVP. I think Mookie Betts will be the MVP. But you can't argue with J.D. Martinez, who was the best free agent signing. And you don't hear that a lot. Often you hear about a free agent signing guy that could end up being an MVP.
Not very often. You're right. Yeah. And he was in the mix as a name for the Cardinals last year. Speaking of which, before I let you go here, the Bryce Harper chatter right now. Handicap that for me.
I say there's probably a more than 50% chance he won't be a Cardinal. I think that a guy like that has to look at obviously the money's there, but I think he wants to be on a team that he thinks can win as soon as possible. And if he came to St. Louis, he would obviously make the Cardinals better, but will he make them a winner? And I think that'll be a question that he'll have to wrestle with. Boy, it'd be nice to wrestle with how you're going to.
Yeah.
Where you going to live?
I'd like to wrestle with that one. Yeah. Well, I'd like to wrestle with the challenges of bringing him here and seeing what
figuring
they can do,
yeah.
Maybe with another bat.
Well, you can start the recruiting tour. I mean, there's ways you can go out and recruit him and tell him what a great place St. Louis is, and he can listen to you on his way to the ballpark every day. That'll get him fired.
No, well, here is one thing. Bryce Harper was on my show, I think it was a year and a half ago. You know, he's got a farm that's not too far away from here in Springfield, Illinois. So, you know, he's worked with Congressman Rodney Davis. Maybe because there's some local ties here, he might consider the Cardinals. So,
isn't Jason Worth involved in something like that?
No, maybe too? I was thinking Rodney Jason Davis. Worth. Not yeah, that's
yeah,
who it was. Worth.
Yeah.
I thought it was Harper. Yeah. Sorry,
they
I messed up my
close enough.
Well, let's do it this way. Let's build him a farm in Springfield or buy Jason Wirth.
Closer, man.
Yeah, so then we can use that excuse. I'm glad you're correcting me on that because my mind is basically mush this week.
One quick plug. Tonight on Sports and More from 8 to 9.
Now, wait a second. You only paid for one plug today.
Well,
Harsh, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead anyway. That's fine.
Come on, Klaibs. His mind
is mush. If you all remember Gene Stallings, who once coached
Absolutely.
Here in St. Louis,
yes.
but also was a national championship coach at the University of Alabama,
mm-hmm.
we're going to talk for an hour. And
oh, wow.
we did it the other day. And what a delightful man at 83 years old. He said one thing that you need to think about. He said, there's two ways you go out. You can rust out or you can wear out. I'm going to wear out.
There you go. He probably has less senior moments than we did today.
He's as sharp as a tack. He's as sharp as a scalpel. I was so impressed with him. And just what a delightful man. And his values on life, I think we could all take a little bit from. And maybe better people for it.
So
you know, that
tonight?
A couple of good evening radio tidbits. That, and I should know this because I did it, but Mike and I were talking about this
in the
building.
Rocky Sickman, right?
You know who Rocky Sickman is, held for 444 days by the Iranians during the Iran hostage crisis, and I did a KMOX profile on him. It either airs tonight or Sunday. I should probably know this, but it's a really good one.
Wow.
Right.
It's tonight. Mike Anderson says it's tonight, so it's basically going to be after Stallings. So you don't have to have any entertainment tonight. Screw Netflix, Making a Murderer, any of that stuff. You got two really good hours of radio tonight.
Amen.
Well, Sickman's first job after he was released was at KMOX. He sold radio.
I know.
God
and then
awesome.
He went to the brewery. That's where I got to know him at.
He ran, for a while, he ran military sales for AB. But yeah, he told some, during the profile, he told some good KMOX stories. He was working on the FM side, and we had FM KMOX for a while in the early 80s.
Right. Yeah, I can't even imagine.
All right, Claiborne, I'm late on a break. I'm going to get yelled at. I'll think the boss is out today,
have
but I better go.
Have a great weekend, gang.
All right, take care.
Bye, Claibs.
Mike Claiborne with Pamela Falk from CBS News coming up next.
He's on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX. He's on your radio now. Mark Reardon on News Radio 1120, KMOX.
Jane, I have $1,000 giveaway here in just a couple of minutes. We still have number one songs this date in history, and Chris Kerber's going to join us, too. I don't know if you've noticed, but the St. Louis Blues have not been playing up to potential.
It hurts my soul.
Yeah, I know. So Kerber's going to guide us through that here in a moment. But this, this whole thing with Jamal Khashoggi, the missing journalist, has been out of a mystery novel, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure Hollywood, Pamela Falk and I talked about this the other day. Hollywood's probably casting this movie right now. Speaking of Pamela, CBS News foreign affairs correspondent with us this afternoon with the latest. How are you, Pamela?
Very well. Hi, Mark. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
There are a few clarifications from the State Department, and then there are some new things on what we know about the grisly and presumed assassination of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi. One is that the Secretary of State has made clear that he has not heard the tapes that Turkey, the audio tapes that Turkey says they have. But we also know that Turkey may have known within hours that this event took place, this murder, and they actually sent a team to the airport undercover, pretending to be maintenance men of the airplane, to see if they could find out more about what was going on. They still waited a few days to let the information out, but almost all the details of who was coming in and who was going out of the consulate in Istanbul where Khashoggi was murdered at the time. We know we're getting every little detail, including what they say. No one has heard it, but an audio, some people have heard it, but not the U.S. government, an audio tape from inside of what sounds like the torturing and dismembering of him while he was still alive.
How much do we know about that audio tape, and then why hasn't it been shared with the U.S.?
There are a lot of mysteries here, Mark, and that one, we haven't been able to find out why they wouldn't share it, but we know that other people have heard it, and the former British head of their intelligence, the MI6, said that there's no question, because some British have heard it, there's no question about the murder, and there's very little question about the fact that it was not only done by rogue elements, and right now they're saying there was a person closely, a colonel closely connected Maher Abdulaziz Mutreb, who may have been the person involved with this, but that he also called the Crown Prince several times during the course of this. So why they don't share it, it's hard to say. Why did they wait 5 days if they knew so much? But we do have all of their footage now from their time-stamped video cameras, and we know pretty much that they have been able to pinpoint exactly who went in and who went out, and they have publicized the scanned passports of the 15 intelligence and other mortician and the other agents of the Saudi government who went in. The only reason that I would speculate is that it shows that they tapped the consulate. And most governments tap other consulates, but I think the making that part of evidence is they might get kicked out.
Now, have the Saudis decided what their story is going to be? Are they going to say it's this top? Okay, so they haven't morphed their story.
I mean, we've heard, first there were reports that it would be that the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, was intending to send a team to interrogate him. And we know from intelligence of the United States that intercepts that they were trying to lure him back, but that it was interrogation gone awry. But we haven't heard anything on that, so who knows what some of these leaks may mean. Right now we're hearing that the Saudis are preparing a report that could be as early as Sunday to and probably place most of the blame on this guy Mutreb, who is the intelligence and Saudi close ally of the Crown Prince. And so, you know, blame it on someone. But no one seems to be buying the fact that there's not some decision-making commanding this effort, because what the Turks are also saying is that he was killed within 7 minutes of getting inside. So it didn't sound like there really was any intent to interrogate him.
Yeah, and we're talking about they cut off his fingers and then they cut off his head, right?
Yep, while he was alive.
Yeah. Now, has our Secretary of State indicated that, I mean, has anyone determined whether if it was not the actual prince, but maybe a high-ranking official, whether that would in any way change the response of the United States?
I think it's a good question, Jay, but I think either way, I mean, just because you walk into court, and not you, but one walks into court and it pleads guilty, doesn't mean they walk out of the courtroom. I mean, in other words, confessing that there was someone who was a freelancer, so to speak, within the Saudi intelligence wouldn't absolve them of all the problems. But I think it's a little too late for that. I think people, basically, there's just a lot of circumstantial evidence and a body of growing body of evidence that seems to be pointing to the fact, especially the U.S. intercepts, that there was a plan that was coming from the top, and that was from the top of the Saudi government to do other things. They didn't say they intended to do this, but the U.S. response is going to have to be strong, and you're starting to see President Trump, I think, based on the Secretary Pompeo return, they're all looking pretty grim-faced, and I think the idea that they are going to have to do something is becoming increasingly evident, because there was a murderer, and he is a journalist, and they have shifted stories for days about it. So
a little bit,
it could be anything. The Senate's trying to get a certain kind of sanctions on, but we'll see. I mean, you're hearing it from GOP senators, too.
CBS News foreign affairs correspondent Pamela Falk. She's become a regular part of this show here for the past week and a half. And the mystery, I don't want to say it deepens. Maybe it's starting to become a little bit more clear. But Pamela, thanks again. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Mark. Good to talk to you, Jane.
Thank you.
This Saturday night, the Blues rekindle an old Norris Division rivalry as they head to Toronto for a hockey night in Canada battle with the Maple Leafs. Face-off at 6, pregame at 5:30, on your home for St. Louis Blues hockey, KMOX.
This is live audio outside of Chris Kerber's hotel room in Toronto. Check this out. There's some sort of protest going on. I'm not sure what's going on. They might be protesting the Blues and how they're playing right now.
They
Kerbs, can
be.
You confirm what those protesters are doing outside your hotel room? And thanks for joining us.
Take off, hey. Take off, you hosers. No way I'll crash this
you
truck.
You hoser.
A beer truck.
That is great. I love that.
How are you, Chris?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Just hanging out here with Bob and Doug McKenzie and the other folks of the Great White North. We heard when you found a mouse in your beer bottle late, you get free beer.
Wow.
You know, I was telling Dave Klein this story the other day when, you know, because I really, one of the reasons I hope the Brewers win the World Series is because of Bob Uecker. And when Montreal had a baseball team, whenever Uecker went there with his broadcast partner, Jim Powell, who's now the guy for Atlanta, he would play this Canadian reporter and do a French accent. And it was like one of the, Bob Uecker's a very funny guy, as you know, and this was one of the funniest bits.
Right.
And they could always get away with it because the Brewers usually were so bad that he went on and did his, you know, Frenchy journalist thing in Montreal quite often. But I've never been to Toronto. Is that where you are right now?
We are in Toronto, a terrific city, a big city, and you know, to give folks an idea just how, you know, hockey is different up here. Lower bowl tickets for tomorrow night's game right now are going at, and this is box office price. This isn't secondary market price. $563 a piece. Upper deck, $200.
Okay, wow. So, we're doing it wrong.
Well,
but no. I wouldn't say we're doing it wrong by any means. It's just it is a different level of insanity up here when it comes to the sport. It's amazing.
And they all have jerseys, too, which are probably $500.
Well, think about that. $200 a game. You couldn't, you want to go sit in the upper deck with your family of four, you're spending $1,000.
That's just amazing to me. Wow. That is another level, though. I mean, I'm telling you, those are dedicated people.
Yeah. Listen, this is a market. And there has been talk over the years about this, but for natural reasons, I don't think Toronto wants to, the Maple Leafs organization wants to see it happen. But there's been talk for quite a long time about this area being able to handle two teams, and I think there's a strong case for it, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, if you're getting $500 for a good seat, yeah.
Wow.
That'll be interesting. All right, so what's going on with this team right now?
I mean,
we're not really at panic mode right now, but this is not exactly, this may be the understatement of the year, the start that we were hoping for and expecting.
We're beleaguered.
Yeah, no, it was not the start, obviously, that was being hoped for when you considered the faces and names that brought in. Look, there's some really good players on this hockey team. This team is built with some character guys as well. It's just for some reason taking longer for it to gel. They've had a couple of very spirited practices up here. They practice at the Coca-Cola Coliseum, the old Rico Coliseum here in Toronto, and a lot of hard work. We'll see a little line juggling tomorrow. I like the fact that Tarasenko is going to go back with Schwartz and Steen, at least the way they practiced the last couple of days. And we'll see how it goes. But there were enough new faces here that it's taking some time to figure out exactly what's going on. And, you know, I don't think realistically anybody thought it was going to click right away. But, you know, you start to get to, and you feel the pressure of how these other teams are playing, and it adds to it. So I think a little bit stronger focus of realizing what it's going to take to win day in, day out is what this team is going to need, guys.
Well, other than doing the line change, is there any other changes that they think might shake this up a little bit?
I don't think you need to shake it up. It is just a matter of getting guys, in the right roles. You know, the other aspect of it is you've got all of a sudden, for example, Braden Schenn was a guy that was relied on kind of as the main guy last year. Well, now Ryan O'Reilly's here in the mix. Tyler Bozak is here in the mix. You know, you've got some other fresh faces as well. And it's adjusting to roles. And as you guys know in sports, kind of knowing your role is such an important part of preparation. I mean, we've got right now the Blues have a power play that's clicking at the rate of 30%. Colton Parayko is not playing on the power play, versus last year when you had that 105-mile-an-hour slap shot. So, I mean, there are things like that that are adjust. Guys have to adjust with them. So I don't think it's a shakeup per se. I think it really is just trying to figure out how you play as a team.
So, next game's tomorrow night, though. You're off tonight, right?
Yeah, we're.
What does one do in Canada when you're off here?
Let's talk about that. Yeah. What are you going to do, Hoser?
Well, we hired an Italian radio analyst in Joey Vitale, and he says we got a group of guys going to what he claims is the best Italian place in Toronto, a place called Soto Soto. So we're gonna go test that out. He's been fantastic, actually. He found a bakery in Montreal, and for the flight yesterday morning, we left Montreal and came here, and the team practiced in Toronto. He had French baguettes for the media types on the plane. So, we hired a
Look at Vitaly sucking up to everyone.
Wow.
I like that. That's great.
I mean, awesome. He comes with baguettes. I mean, he wins.
He can't beat that.
Well, he apparently I insulted him by saying that pretzel bread was bread.
Oh, well, yeah, for a purist, that is sort of insulting. But you know what? It's okay, Kerb. Now, you know today's your sister's birthday, right?
Today is what?
Apparently, he did not know that.
No, I just saw
that. Happy birthday to, you know.
Well, I just figured out that they were related, so I was so excited. He's got like 20 of them. You can't blame him. He's got siblings.
20 sisters?
I mean, he's got a lot of siblings.
Big family.
Huge family, so you can't blame him.
No. Today is Jesse's birthday. Later on in the month, would have been my mom's birthday. So, yeah, we've got them sprinkled out, and I'm smart enough to have every single one of them on my phone so I know to call or text within a day or two.
There you go.
Awesome.
Well, then you're doing good.
All right, enjoy the stay up there. Let's get some wins, get back here to St. Louis. When are you guys coming back? I should have looked at the schedule.
We come. That's all right. That's what my job is for.
Yeah,
we come back after the game. We come back after the game on Monday. So we play in Winnipeg on Monday, and then we come home for a homestand after that.
Good. All right, Chris, thank you.
Thank you. Have a good
fun.
Time.
Good luck.
Okay, take off, you hosers. Have a good day.
It's Chris Kerber up in Toronto. We got to do this, Jane.
Whiplash propelled us into a time warp, Captain. Backward.
This is a Flashback Friday.
Flashback.
Number one songs of the 60s to today.
They don't make music like that anymore.
With Mark Rudin on KMOX.
All right, Jane, as you know, a little Friday tradition, and we're going to start with 1968. This one's been number one for a few weeks now.
Hey, Jude.
And not unexpectedly so, right? As soon as we heard this one, we knew it was going to be number one for a while.
Yeah.
The Beatles have held many of those positions here in the 1960s. 78.
I wanna kiss you all over.
Exile would kiss you all over.
Great song. Underrated.
And, oh, I think we have a new one for 1988.
Do.
Here we go. Do you know it yet? Groovy Kind of Love.
Yeah,
I would not have expected this one to be number one, right?
Phil Collins
I think
song.
Basically anything that Phil Collins was doing was going number one, so this one got there by default, but I would not put this in the top tier of Phil Collins songs, right? Some of those 80s ballads.
Make it go.
98.
Trying to say things to get me to stay.
Monica. Don't think I've ever heard that song. Have you heard that one?
Yeah,
I don't know.
2008.
I wonder if they keep track of any kind of records, like number one songs from people who really have no vocal talent whatsoever. This would be amongst them. Britney Spears, Womanizer. I mean, God bless her for dancing and the lip syncing and the production and making all that money. I'm jealous, but not really a singing voice there, is there?
Electronically generated, isn't it?
I think the word that you're looking for is crap. I do like this one, though. Adam Levine, number one right now. Maroon 5, Girls Like You. That's your number one song this day in history, Jane. We're coming back. Audio cut of the day right into Total Information PM. Hang in there. Traffic with Roger. Coming up next on KMOX. We have an audio cut of the day coming up. I will review Halloween with Paul Hall at 4:20 this afternoon. I think Alex Ferrario has got sports at 4:15, 4:45. Let me ask a question. You're a St. Louis County resident, right?
Yeah, I am.
As am I. You know who your waste hauler is by any chance?
I do.
Mine is Meridian. Do you know yours?
Yeah, I think mine's, well, let's see. I thought it was Waste.
Just called Waste?
Waste Management.
Okay, but here's
anyway,
my question.
Yeah, my
let's
municipality
say,
decides, though. It's not.
Oh, is that what happens?
I'm not unincorporated St. Louis County. I'm incorporated.
Right.
So the city I live in decides who the hauler is.
Okay. So let's say that you're doing a bit of a fall cleaning, spring cleaning, whatever
the
situation. You got a bunch of stuff. It's not going to fit in your container.
Correct.
What would you do?
I set it there.
You would set it outside of your container?
Well, yeah, depending on what it is. Like, if we had, like, we had a piece of furniture recently.
Mm-hmm.
So we call them and say, because you get, you know, so many bulks a year. And so you just
apparently
tell
I don't
them,
get those.
Oh, that's a
that's
shame.
Why I bring it up because well, go ahead. But
and
finish.
So no, so you just call them and you tell them, and you're allowed to do it. You just let them know. So we had a big piece of furniture. They take it away.
Yeah, if but you understand my question. Like, so I called the other day and I said, hey, what if I got some stuff that's not going to fit in my containers that I need to throw out because I'm throwing a
bunch?
Well,
bags.
I need to know the names of those items and how much they weigh. It can't be over 65 pounds. I'm like. Let me go at this again. So you're telling me there is no option for your customers, Meridian Waste, where if they have a bunch of stuff they want to throw out that does not fit in the trash cans. Apparently, according to the woman who answered my call, there is none. And she acted like I was insane for even asking the question. So we called someone else that said they can deliver like a dumpster for $250 or something like that. You keep it for a week. They come and pick it up, which probably is going to be what we do. But why doesn't Meridian Waste have that option? Because if you could have heard this phone call.
We put stuff out that's not in the bin.
See, I can't do that. They'll come down with black helicopters and fire on the house and then slap fines and handcuff you. Oh, yeah. You can't do that. Because when we moved in, we dared to put something outside of the receptacle, Jane. We dared.
I order a lot of like Amazon. I do a lot of delivery to the house. So we break down the boxes. I don't put those in a recycle bin. We either tie them up or we put them between the two cans.
Yeah, don't do that. I can't do that. Apparently, I can't get anything.
You're barred.
It was just so baffling to me why someone at a trash hauling company didn't understand that there was a need to throw things out in bulk.
Some charge, but you still get to do it like $25 or something. And then
she's telling me like $25 per item, and it has to be this much. She said, well, it can't be more than 65 pounds. I'm like, there's more than 65 pounds in my trash container. Yeah. But here's the difference. They only have one person on the truck. So they have, it's all the automated deal, right?
Right.
So they don't have two guys that can go back there
and throw a bag in
apparently
or whatever
not.
It is. So, and that's probably why we have to tell them. But I put bags out there all the time.
Yeah, like, I can't, here's what I'm going to do. I think I just figured this out. I have a bunch of stuff that I need to throw out. I'm going
to
load it in my truck and I'm going to drop it in your front yard. There you go.
Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Well, I like it when you're here, Jane. It comes up with solutions for me.
I do. I always solve your problems.
When's your trash day, just out of curiosity? I might make it easy that
Thursday.
Way. Just, okay, I'll drop it off on Wednesday night. Here you go. Audio cut of the day. It is sponsored this afternoon by the Good Feet Stores. Good Feet Pain Relief and Comfort to fit any budget. Here's Nikki Haley having a little fun at a charity dinner roast last night and talking about Donald Trump.
He said, if I get stuck for laughs, just brag about his accomplishments. It really killed at the UN, I gotta tell you. Last year you went with Paul Ryan, who's a Boy Scout, and that's fine, but a little boring. So this year you wanted to spice things up again, right? I get it. You wanted an Indian woman, but Elizabeth Warren failed her DNA test.
Ouch! That was a pretty good line, by the way. And then she was talking about political opponents.
In America, our political opponents are not evil. In South Sudan, where rape is routinely used as a weapon of war, that is evil. In Syria, where the dictator uses chemical weapons to murder innocent children, that is evil. We have some serious political differences here at home, but our opponents are not evil. They're just our opponents.
Well, a little common sense into the political dialogue. How dare you do that, right?
Oh, God.
Speaking of boring, that's not fun, Nikki Haley. I do like her quite a bit. I'd be very curious to see what she does in the future. In the meantime, Jane, have a great weekend.
Amen.
We're getting closer here. Only two more roundtables until Election Day. The countdown is on. Total Information PM coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.